we have the opportunity to bring a couple of small issues forward. We typically don't move issues from before to after lunch, but we have a couple of fairly small ones. Denise is the first one, and that's agenda paper 8. And then we thought we would also bring forward agenda paper 9 on NCI puts. And the crowd goes wild. Denise, agenda paper 8.
Yeah. In agenda paper 8, we analyzed the comments received on the tentative agenda decision regarding the application of paragraph 78 of IS 36. This paragraph sets out the requirements for considering recognized liabilities when these are inseparable from the assets of a cash-generating unit in determining the recoverable amount of that cash-generating unit. We received 4 comment letters. Deloitte, Mazars, and the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany agree with the committee's tentative agenda decision for the reasons stated in the agenda decision. However, the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany questions whether the requirements in paragraph 78 are appropriate and suggests that these requirements be revisited in a future post-implementation review of IS 36. So we have taken notes of those comments. The Canadian Accounting Standards Board proposed some revisions to the wording of the tentative agenda decision, and we have agreed with most of the suggestions, and we have included them in Appendix A of this paper. So we recommend finalizing the agenda decision with some edits on the basis that the requirements for considering recognized liabilities in determining the recoverable amount of a cash-generating unit are clear. So we now hand over to the committee and ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision and whether you have any comments on the proposed wording of the final agenda decision in Appendix A of this paper.
Comments? Tony?
I agree with finalizing the agenda decision. I just wonder whether we can address I think the particular concern that sits behind the question, just maybe a little more clearly. And the concern that I have is the issue that arises potentially in practice is that an entity, when it's doing a value and use calculation, will determine the cash flows that will include the settlement of the liability, discount those cash flows using the discount rate appropriate for the impairment test, and then deduct from the carrying value the provision, which has been discounted using a discount rate appropriate in the provision standard, and the two might not be the same thing. And so you can potentially end up sheltering an impairment. And so I just like the words to say that you've got to compare like with like, that the measurement of the provision that you deduct from the carrying value of the asset reflects the same assumptions that have gone into the measurement of the cash flows. So you don't end up, let's say, discounting the cash outflows using the discount rate appropriate for the provision and then deducting from the carrying value of the asset a provision measured on a completely different basis. I think that's the challenge that happens in practice.
Mikhail?
Yes, I think I was into that the first time it was discussed here, that in practice if we talk about the cash generating unit, that is some kind of business, a business area or something, it will not be possible to separate the cash flows in the future for the liability from the asset side. And by that, you will have one discount rate for the value also in the value of use, which of course then would be comparable with the way that if you would sell it, the business area, the cash generating units. And I think that is also reasonable, because that is of course why it is a cash generating unit, because it's difficult to separate the cash. And it's also in my mind talking about not necessarily difficult to say that in the accounting, the book value, you have the different standards having their different discount rates. But for the purpose of impairment testing of a cash generating unit, you have the common discount rate that reflects the risk in the cash generating units. And that is the same as we had on the IAS 28 discussion before, that is different unit of account, and if different purposes for the, this kind of analysis. So in my mind, the practical way, so to speak, would be that you take the net cash flows and you have one discount rate and you compare that with the book value. And of course, that will not be, I mean, there will be different values or results from that. But still, that would be comparable to the fair value less cost to sell analyze.
Reinhardt?
I agree with finalizing the agenda decision. Like Tony, I think it would be helpful to add some wording just to emphasize the point that the determination for the carrying value and value in use should be consistent in respect of the liability. I think there's some of the commentators had some suggestions in terms of wording, and it's really just I think adding to that very last sentence in the third paragraph where we say the approach makes the comparison meaningful, you know, to add some words because there would be performed on a like similar basis in respect of the liability, so something along those lines.
Yeah, I think I'm wondering. You know, we say Mikhail said there's a single discount rate that you apply to this unit of account. But if the cash flows have different risk profiles, you cannot just, it would seem to me, say, well, the discount rate appropriate for the asset is the one that I ought to apply to all those cash flows. Instead, it would seem to me the discount rate has to be a blended rate.
Mm-hmm.
Still only going to have one rate, but it has to reflect the fact that you have cash flows with differing risk profiles within the measurement unit. Would you agree with that, Mikhail?
I agree with that from both a practical point of view and also from the point of view that what is the purpose with the accounting from the starting point and the discussion that you have in the different standards. And as we know, then we end up with, I don't remember exactly, but like 8 different kind of ways of having discount rates in different standards, which you could potentially argue or discuss. But if you look on the value of a cash generating unit, that is then a unit of account, that is one operation, and it is, as we said, it could potentially then be sold as one single transaction, including these different liabilities. And of course, a purchaser acquirer will never have this blended rate, I guess.
Tony?
Another way of maybe coming at it is the words that the standard uses are used up the carrying amount of the recognised liability in determining both the CGU's carrying amount and its value in use.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was trying to say is you deduct the same carrying amount in the value in use and the carrying value. And I think that is the challenge, because people deduct the carrying value on the books of the liability from the carrying value. But then rather than doing the cash flows excluding the liability and deducting the same amount, they implicitly deduct the liability from the value in use using a different discount rate. And so we end up comparing apples with oranges.
Our point being that you shouldn't be able to arbitrage it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we understand what we want to do with the language. You'll see it in update.
Okay.
John, do you want to come in on this?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the agenda decision. Just one comment on the first sentence on paragraph 3. there is a slight ambiguity in between paragraph 76 and 78 of IAS 36, because paragraph 76 talks about an inability to determine the recoverable amount of a CGU without considering your liability, whereas paragraph 78 actually talks about situations where a buyer might assume the liability. So I think in practice, in situations where a buyer would assume the liability, it's considered that you can use, you can include the liability, even though you might be able to reliably measure the liability's fair value actually separately. Asset retirement obligations is actually a good example where you could measure the liability, but because they will always be transferred with the CGU, they're actually included and paragraph 78 is used. I just think the first sentence of that third paragraph seems to imply that you have to have a situation where the entity cannot determine the recoverable amount without consideration of the recognised liability, which is sort of what paragraph 76 says, but that's actually not repeated the same way in paragraph 78. So I think that wording should be just softened slightly to reflect what's at in the beginning of paragraph 78.
You don't think which may occur is soft enough?
Well, I think that appears to me to be given as an example of the more definitive wording that precedes it. So
okay.
So may not be able to determine, or do you want to change it?
Yeah, I think it's
instead of cannot determine.
Yeah, cannot determine.
May not be able to determine.
Yeah. Or which may occur at the disposal that required a buyer to assume the liability, which is what's in paragraph 78.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll work on that. You'll see it in update. I'm making lots of promises for you guys.
Yeah.